Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Rick, feeling rested?
No.
No.
Not feeling rested. No, no. No, a lot of swimming yesterday.
A lot of swimming.
Didn't want to, but Milo forced me to. Right into the cold pool.
Don't you have a heater?
We don't heat up I haven't heated up the entire pool. We'll heat up the, as Milo calls it, the hot koozie. But no, I mean, we just, I didn't intend to go in the pool. We played some roller hockey, and then all he wanted to do was go in the pool. So I said, you know what, we'll go in the pool. And then 2 hours later, we got to go out of the pool. He won't stop. Will not stop.
No.
Loves it.
What happens when you're 5 years old?
I wish I was 5 years old. I wish I could love something as much as he loves just cannonballing into the pool.
But you know what you did when you were five?
That's why I wish I was five again.
Yeah.
This whole adult thing is not all it's cracked up to be.
It can be difficult. That's for sure.
I actually dislike it, to be honest.
The whole parenting thing is not as easy as some might.
Well, no, the parenting thing is fine. It's everything else. It's all the other stuff. I got to deal with Mickey calling
me every
day.
You're responsible now.
My grandmother's causing a ruckus because she doesn't. I mean, she's a mess. She wants to move in with everybody. This is
paying bills, paying taxes.
She's lonely.
Yeah, being an adult is overrated. Ruckus. Completely agree. It's overrated.
Of course,
completely overrated.
Yeah, you didn't realize how good you had it. Your parents tried to tell you back in the day, enjoy being a kid.
Yep.
And you just said, I can't wait till I grow up so I can do adult things. I could have that back.
Yeah, but I don't know if you guys feel like this. Whatever stage I'm in, I want to be in another stage. Like, I'm a little kid. Oh, I can't wait to get older. You get a little older, I can't wait to be an adult. You're an adult. You're like, boy, I wish I could go back. Like, I'm never satisfied whatever stage I'm in my life.
Take me back to freshman year in college. I'd be happy.
That was awesome.
Freshman year of college.
And you knew it?
What? I didn't know it at the time. No, I loved
it. That's what I'm saying.
I didn't get to stay, but I mean, if I could go back to one time in my life, it would probably, freshman year of college would be solid.
I would probably go back to my rookie year in the NFL. You mean I get to play football and I don't have to worry about going to class and I get paid to do this? Oh, yeah. I'll take that.
Yeah, but here's the one thing. This is why I didn't say my rookie year. Is because my freshman year of college, I was a 15-minute ride to my house, laundry done, home-cooked meals and everything else.
Oh, Plus, that's nice.
So you had you were still a child, but you had adult responsibilities and commitments as well.
Well, college is kind of like real-world freedom without real-world responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
15-minute ride to my house.
That's awesome.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, college is like if you're a wild animal. Like, I'm on a preserve where I can still be wild, but I don't have to worry about being hunted.
Did they watch you behind the glass at BU?
You're protected.
Yes.
Did they quietly, as they drove by, if you look closely, you can see Rick DiPietro in his natural habitat.
Oh, my gosh.
Dad, you'd have to close your eyes for a lot of those situations.
Right. So let's get into we talked about the NFL from last night. We talked about, obviously, baseball and the disaster they are from last night with Rob Manfred. We didn't talk about the NBA yet. Let's do that a little bit with Adam Silver from last night. A couple of cuts we'll play, and then we'll get into it, 800-919-3776. And that is the players using the platform during this very difficult time. Here's Adam Silver.
Number one, there'll be an enormous amount of media attention focused on the players down there. And for better or worse, they're going to have a lot of time on their hands. I mean, we're going to try to avoid back-to-back, so there'll be very few of those. So there'll be enormous amount of time, whether to engage in social media. There will be a media cohort that will be part of this campus. They can speak directly to. And I think there's also going to be an opportunity, and this is what a lot of players have talked to me about, for, again, roughly 375 players down there to start, to meet with each other and to talk about what the next steps are in terms of a reaction to the issues Damian and others have been talking about. I mean, one of the things from a league standpoint, we've been having these discussions with the PA, the Players Association, and directly with players, and that is, what should this league that may have a unique opportunity as compared to almost any other organization in the world be doing in response to George Floyd's death, to endemic racial issues in society?
So that's the commissioner. We'll hear more from him and from Damian Lillard, who he referred to as well. And the thing I'll say about it, Chris, is he's He's very thoughtful in understanding that this is a very much a players league, and he wants to, and he always has thought like this, wants to give them the platform to express themselves. Now more than ever, it sounds like.
Well, it's a delicate balance, Dave. I mean, he's the guy that's caught in the middle between the interests of the players and where the owners are at in terms of the bottom line and the financial impact of all of this. And so I think that Adam Silver is doing the right thing by continuing to preach optimism and encourage healthy dialogue between the different factions of players that are having a discussion as to whether they are on board with returning to play or not. And so I think that it's a conversation that needs to be ongoing, and clearly there's some merit to what Kyrie Irving's perspective was, because you have this new NBA coalition, which is made up of players that are voicing similar concerns. I think Avery Bradley is one of the prominent figures in that coalition as well. And so some of the things that they're talking about, some of the concerns that they have, are valid concerns. And I think that it's a discussion that needs to be had. And Michelle Roberts did a good job, the executive director of the NBPA, in framing it as a conversation and not the different factions of players being adversarial, because they're just all trying to find the best way forward in terms of how they can push the agenda of Black Lives Matter and support the movement and the momentum that's already been created.
You know, when initially we talked about this, and again, we kind of, you know, spoke on, you know, sometimes it's the messenger and it being Kyrie, and I heard it a couple times yesterday. I'm sure you guys heard the same thing, that, you know, on some of those calls, one of Kyrie's biggest questions was, were there going to be booze inside the bubble?
Right. And that was my big take on Saturday, which I got attacked for yesterday. But it's hard to have that take originally and then come back with a different take 48 hours later.
Yeah, but that is some of the craziness. Chris has been a part of these calls that goes into CBA, where these kind of negotiations. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. you have players all over the place. But I was thinking about this a lot listening to Adam Silver yesterday. It could be live, could be taped, who knows. We'll find out at 12:30. Was that, Chris, me and you always go back and forth to this. And yesterday the conversation was, would the NBA coming back be a distraction? And we went back and forth. And then mm-hmm. after listening to Adam Silver and thinking about it this morning, when is the next opportunity or ever would you have 375 NBA players all in one place?
Never.
Probably never.
Yeah, hopefully never.
No, hopefully never. But even when we try to have CBA meetings, like if we have union meetings, mm-hmm. you don't usually get that many people in the same room. Mm-hmm. And very rarely do you get the best of the best players in that room. So now you have the opportunity, 375, including the very best that you have to offer, with a bunch of free time, to actually have the opportunity to unite and, you know, kind of go back and forth and have those conversations and figure out what they're going to try to accomplish moving forward with this. I think that's a pretty good opportunity to have as a league.
Well, I get what you're saying and the symbolism of it, everybody being together in one spot. But I guess the different things that have been suggested by media members and by people representing the players is, you know, taking advantage of the platform and being able to use the pre and post game interviews, the pre game warm ups to make stances about their position as it pertains to the civil unrest and everything that's going on in this country and the fight for equality. I just look at all of those things as avenues that players have already gone down. And yet we still haven't been able to move the needle in terms of affecting the change that we want to see. So I am not opposed to having conversations with people that are thinking outside of the box. And furthermore, I have an issue with people that are trying to shout down Kyrie Irving and others, people in the NBPA, people in this players coalition, when they're trying to present some lateral thinking to a complex problem that this country has been dealing with for hundreds of years. That part about it, I don't understand. When Stephen A. Smith and Michael Wilbon and Charles Barkley use terms like stupidity and idiotic and foolish, I just think that that's missing the boat completely. I think that's counterproductive. We all are trying to find answers to a very difficult problem. Something that is ingrained in the fabric of American culture. And so there is no simple answer. So I think if there was a simple answer, we would have explored that. We would have exercised the options and gone down that route. But I think that you have to try to attack this problem on multiple fronts. And I don't have a problem with the players having that discussion as a part of trying to figure out the plan to return to play, or if in fact they feel like it's time to return to playing games.
All right. So more from the commissioner last night on the special with Greeny. Players can accomplish more, in fact, by returning to play basketball.
To me, and when I've heard this loud and clear, the statements have been issued, foundations have been announced, contributions, but I think there's an expectation that there's more that this league can do. And I think part of it's going to require a fair amount of listening, something we've been doing already, but then engaging in very deliberate behavior together with the players in terms of, you know, how can we use sort of our larger platform in the NBA together with our players really to affect change? And so there's an appropriate role, of course, for protest. There's an appropriate role for those who choose not to engage in the game basketball down in Florida. But I think then for those who decide to come together with the league, you know, what are those things we can be doing? And just add to that, Mike, one of the things we've talked about at the league and with some players is that maybe since the players will have a lot of time down there to bring in a series of speakers, for example, that the players choose to talk about police reform, to talk about why COVID-19 has had a disparate impact on people of color, to talk about broader societal issues of employment and wealth disparity. I mean, those are all kinds of things these players together with the league can be doing around this community down in Orlando.
Look, I think that there's both sides of this, and I see both. And to me, I agree. I think that the platform is huge. I think that you have an opportunity to make this a nonstop issue. I think you can discuss it during games, before games, press conferences, foundations. And I don't discount what you say, Chris. I understand the other side of it as well. But looking at it from, and maybe my standpoint is different than a lot, and that's fine, is that to play and to bring attention during the game does a lot, and I hope that's the avenue that we go in.
No, I'm not saying that it's worthless, Dave. That's not what I'm saying, but I just feel like in terms of the things that players have tried to do to bring awareness and to try to create urgency to change things, some of the things that have been suggested that could happen in the bubble are things that have already been done. And so I look at this from the standpoint of recognizing that the players in and of themselves with the resources that they have can't solve the problem. But I think that the players can, from a symbolic standpoint, take action to represent the type of urgency that we all need to have in trying to solve this problem. The issues that we're fighting against are systemic. I understand that the players returning represents a $2 billion windfall in terms of what they would be making, but the problems that we're experiencing in black and brown communities across America, it's going to take more than $2 billion to be able to fix it. We're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars. When you try to close the gap in terms of equality in this country, I mean, it's just, I heard a statistic last week. I couldn't believe it. For every $100 of wealth white American families have, black American families have $5. Mm. There's something wrong with that, Dave. And so, yeah, I'm not necessarily on board with linear types of thinking when it comes to try to solve this problem. I think we've got to look at some unconventional things that we could potentially present as solutions in terms of being able to put pressure on the elected officials, community leaders, to do the right things, to reallocate resources to marginalized communities, better education for black and brown communities, better healthcare infrastructure, ending police brutality. I mean, there are a lot of issues that black and brown communities are facing. So again, I go to the systemic level. I think this is too much to try to heap on NBA players to ask them to be superheroes to save the black community. But what they can do is make a statement about what we should be doing, where we should all be at, the actions that we should all be taking. And I think them coming together to have these different conversations, yep, and explore all these different points is something that could be productive in terms of finding the best avenue forward. That's all. So, and whatever they do, they need to do it together in solidarity. That's the part of it that I've been preaching on. Whether they all return to play, whether they decide they're going to sit it out and push the season aside, whatever you do, you need to be in solidarity when you make the decision.
800-919-3776 to get involved in the conversation. And Damian Lillard was on this call last night as well, this show. And he was asked, what impact do you hope that the protests will have moving forward?
I hope that it has a sort of impact where people realize that the black community has had enough. You know, when I went and protested, it was thousands and thousands of people. And, you know, about half of them, or maybe a little bit less than half of them, were white people. And I think that type of support and that type of pressure being applied, you know, can only cause change. Being consistent with that and not only having black people, but people who've been a part of the privilege, you know, people who haven't directly been affected, kind of jumping in and joining the fight as well. I think that goes a long way. And I think you've seen that, you know, because it's not only black people, it's white people. It's not only the United States. It's been other countries participating actively and consistently. So I think when you have that type of unity, you know, it applies pressure and almost forces you to bring some type of change.
Well, I mean, I think that everyone wants, or most, Chris, want change. And I think, honestly, a lot of people don't know how to get the change and to push for the change that's appropriate that should happen right now.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people are trying to figure out what they need to do in terms of educating themselves so they can make informed decisions on how they want to engage and be an activist and be an ally in the movement, in the fight for equality. And so this has been a learning period for the country the last month or so, especially in the aftermath of George Floyd. But again, I keep coming back to us needing to have more urgency in addressing these problems than we've had in the past, because we continue to see visuals of black men being killed by law enforcement. I mean, another one happened over this weekend. Now, circumstances were a lot different than George Floyd, but the results are the same. Another black man lost his life, and it's a question of whether or not that was necessary. So I guess my thing is this, you know, we need to try to figure out a way where we can hold elected leaders, community leaders accountable in terms of doing their jobs in order to keep us all safe, because the current system that we have is not working. And so the players trying to figure out how we can apply pressure to the system in order to affect the change that we want to see, I think it's reasonable for them to be having that conversation. And so to be completely dismissive of another point of view that says that maybe we should consider the timing in this return into play, to me, that's missing the boat on all of this, Dave.
But you know that. I mean, you know, most of that, you know, most of the, you know, the people that are dismissing this, or, you know, you mentioned some names and them saying stupidity, that has a lot to do with the messenger, don't you think? If this wasn't Kyrie Irving, I think there'd be, I don't think people would be nearly as quick to say this wasn't, you know, something you should at least have conversations about.
Yeah, but it's hard for people at home to make the delineation between the messenger and the message. And that's the part that's lost in all of this. I don't think what Kyrie Irving was pushing in terms of trying to have that perspective heard was the worst thing in the world. Matter of fact, I think it's something that should be encouraged. I think Jay Williams went on Get Up this morning and said, yeah, there's absolutely merit to what they're talking about, and that should be a part of the conversations that are happening as they try to figure out whether or not they're going to return to play. To me, we're all trying to find solutions to the problem, which is fighting against racism and fighting for equality. And to be dismissive of a perspective that might be different from your own, I feel like that's counterproductive.
No, and you're not wrong. And you're not wrong. I guess my thinking would be, you definitely have to have these conversations, and it's 100% worth talking about. Biggest thing is, you have to come out of these conversations as united front.
Yes.
Everyone has to be on the same page.
Which they're not.
Yeah, but here's the one thing I would say, is that the people you're trying to reach, unfortunately, if you decide to sit out the season, I think they'll just, that'll be it for them. No season, okay, I don't have to, not have to worry about it. I think you have the ability now with having a season and if done the right way, where you can attack this thing on multiple fronts, where the people you're trying to reach because they love sports are going to watch the NBA and the messages that you want to send and everything else, they can't avoid that. Like, people can shut off the news. There's a lot of sports fans. They ain't going to shut off the NBA finals.
And I hear what you're saying, having a platform of games and actually staying relevant in that regard. You know, it makes it easier to continue to push the message. But I will say to that this, I mean, we've seen throughout history, when athletes have taken a stance based on what's going on in the political climate and social injustice, that they still remain relevant even if they're not participating in their respective sport. Like, look at what happened to Muhammad Ali in the late 60s and taking a stance against the Vietnam War.
Some
and taking a stance against the brutality that was happening to black and brown Americans at that time.
But
it's not like Muhammad Ali was irrelevant.
No, he was. No, he was tremendously relevant. He's also the biggest star of a sport. Like,
well, these are the best basketball players in the world.
Some of them are.
Yeah, these are the best basketball players.
Is the eighth guy on the Portland Trailblazers? Does he have a bigger platform if they're playing and he makes a statement, or if they're not?
Dave, I'm not arguing that, and that's why I said, regardless of what conclusion that they come to, they all need to be united, and they do that. If LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kawhi Leonard are saying, you know what, we've thought about it, we've had a conversation and talk amongst ourselves about it, this is the stance that we're going to take, then that would be extremely impactful. So yeah, I think that there's an opportunity for healthy conversation, and we'll see what conclusion they come to. But if the players recognize their agency and they all band together, that could send a powerful message, even if they don't decide to resume the season in Orlando. I'm not saying that that's what they should do, but I do think if they were to go down that road, the potential to be just as impactful is right there with resuming the season. So I think that this is a conversation that the players should be having amongst themselves, and I'm glad that Adam Silver and Michelle Roberts are facilitating that and giving these guys time and space to do that.
Let's go to a call or two. Let's go to Ryan and Ronkonkoma. Ryan, you're next up on 98.7. Ryan?
The NBA. Yeah, you got me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, guys. I think the NBA season should come back and the guys should play, and if they really want to keep the protest going and put names in the spotlight and stuff, cover up that sponsorship on the heart of the jersey with a name, a face, a cop that hasn't got arrested, whatever the case, but hit them in the corporate pocket because that's the only pocket they care about.
But, yeah, but the relationship, but the relationship you have as players in the NBA with your league, with your owners, with your coaches, with your, I mean, general managers, that's a much better relationship than any of the other sports.
It is
a partnership. I wouldn't want to do anything to jeopardize those relationships.
It is a better relationship than any other ownership group in any of the professional team sports, Rick, but you got to remember, some of those owners use the hundreds of millions of dollars that are generated by the players to support political figures and agendas that are opposed to what the players are fighting for. So again, it comes back to the players using their influence to put pressure on community leaders and politicians in order to push for the change that they want to see. And that includes the people that they might be cashing checks from.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think you would be better served using this opportunity to have the conversations and trying to find a way to get some tangible change now in push the owners of these NBA teams, push, you know, Adam Silver to find ways to make change now as opposed to, and still play a season as opposed to just saying, shut it down. I don't think that is to anyone's benefit.
Well, I just think the conversation needs to be had. What they're going to do is push. The best way what they're trying to do now is figure out the best way to push in order to enact the change that they want to see. That's what it is. It's not a matter of, are they going to continue to be activists? Because that's going to happen. Michelle Roberts said it in her statement. Like, it's a cause that we all embrace. It's a cause that we all support. It's just that we have some differing opinions on the methodology that we're going to use in order to try to push the change we want to see.
Don't you think it's important to have a unified front, though, to kind of have all the players get together and have a strong, firm stand as one?
Well, I agree, Dave, and that's what I've been saying this entire time. No matter what they decide, I think they all need to do it together. Because if you band together, you have more security, you have more safety. I mean, that's why you have unions across the country representing the interests of the workers. It's because there's safety in that. There's security in that. You know, when you have guys splintering off and doing their own thing, you know, your actions become less impactful. Your voices aren't as amplified. And so I think whatever the players decide, I'm okay with. But just to be dismissive of Kyrie and Dwight and Avery Bradley's perspective on it, I think is totally out of bounds.
Yeah, it's a conversation that we'll continue to have here, and it's important. And we'll see when we get to the bottom line of whether they're going to play or not. But I think that we all agree that they have to have a united front here, and I think they will. Andrew Cuomo saying U.S. Open tennis tournament will be held starting on August 31st. So I don't think any fans will be there, but you will see top-notch tennis in New York in a couple months.
You need to feel better about your life.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself.
Let's take a look at Rick's Snobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Tuesday edition. Knobservations, as we like to start off every Knobservations with now, because Dave wants to feel like he's a part of this, and I need to figure out what I'm doing this afternoon. We're going to start with Dave Rothenberg's weather report.
The weather outside is weather.
I think this is a tad bit unfair. I don't think I pushed to do the weather. I thought you guys kind of fell in love with it.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to admit that. Yeah, that, okay. I mean, that's how it went
it's
down.
It's backed by popular demand.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. All right, well, if you're up Rick DiPietro time this morning, you saw the sun rise at 5:20. If you're like the rest of us and you're awake this evening, you'll see it set at 8:28. Chance of rain? Don't bet on it today, folks. 0% chance of rain. Humidity, low 40%. Woo! Wind out of the east at 10 miles an hour. Feels like 75 degrees. You know why it feels like that? Because that's what it is, 75 degrees right now. Going up to no clouds now. You could see a little bit of scattering later on during the afternoon. But a high of right around here, 75, maybe 76. Precipitation not going to happen. The barometric pressure is at 30.37. Visibility, very good. 10 miles. UV index is at 8, so put your sunblock on today. Air quality index is 17, and the air quality is considered good.
Well done, David. Well done.
Thank you.
Everything you need to know about the weather.
That's right.
Unfortunately, in my house, the weather doesn't matter. Rain or shine, we will be in that pool. I can guarantee it. I can guarantee it. All right, game. Sweep of the nation. Dave Rothenberg, after a convincing win of the week last week, started off 1-0 this week. Dave, it's on you. Would you like to go first or second in Guess What Time I Went to Bed Last Night?
All right, now just for those that didn't tune in yesterday during this segment, and they're tuning in today, and they're used to the Price is Right rules, that is now out. It is now just who comes closest to the number. I'm up 1-0 on the week. Mm-hmm. Chris, it's all you. Start us out.
Okay. Rick said he did watch a little bit of the SportsCenter special last night, but I'm going to assume that he didn't watch the lion's share of it. So I am going to go with Rick going to bed at 9:41 p.m.
Ooh, 9:41. Creative.
Wow.
I like it.
That's late. I can't see from the baby-like 7:33 the night before that he'd be going to bed at 9:41. So I'll go 9:40 p.m.
9:40 p.m. I like it, fellas. Dave being as diabolical as usual. Here's the one thing you didn't take into account. I actually took a 10-minute close your eyes nap yesterday to prepare myself for the special.
Oh, no.
Wanted to throw you off the scent. I stayed up, believe this or not. Get ready for your jaws to drop.
Oh, no.
To 11:03.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, no. Chris, congratulations.
Thank you.
You take control of the board.
Thank you. And now
I knew nothing about a nap.
I pushed through. I'm not going to tell you I took a nap. I pushed through it.
I knew nothing about a nap. Yeah, but you know what you told us? I was in the pool. It was so exhausting. It was very tiring.
No, when I say nap, what you need to understand.
The man just said he's trying to throw you off the scent, Dave.
That is
exactly right. That is called the double cross, Dave.
Oh. But here's what you need to understand. When I say nap, it's tongue-in-cheek nap. This was, I came in the house after the pool, laid on the floor for a quick second, and then before I knew it, I woke up and I was sleeping on the floor. That's where I was at with the nap.
Love it.
You must be exhausted today.
I am pretty tired today, yes. Oh, yeah, this is going to be a bad one.
All right, now we're in a battle this week, because now we're 1-1 heading into Wednesday, and Canty has control of the board.
Exactly, and I will allow you to go first every single time.
I had to spice it up. Man. I can't have you winning every single day. I mean, I had to find a way to keep myself up a little bit.
Disgusted.
And I had sexy time.
Who stays up to 11? Unheard of for you.
The testosterone was gone. I got to sprinkle in a little sexy time, too, last night. I got a little sexy time. Help me stay up. All right, here we go. Dave, you had mentioned this earlier in the show. Before I get to did this happen in Florida, I figure this is something we should probably talk about. No, definitely should talk about. Oklahoma State head football coach Mike Gundy, nomination for an observation. Did you see the video? The awkward
video with him and Hubbard, the running back?
I did.
Chris, what do you think? Pretty awkward, no?
No, it was awkward. And furthermore, Mike Gundy is an even bigger knob for allowing Chuba to apologize. Because under no circumstances should he have been asked to apologize.
Well, he did nothing wrong.
He didn't do anything wrong. Mike Gundy was the one that did something wrong or something that could be viewed as insensitive toward his players and what they're dealing with.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
But why? I mean, there's two things you take away from the picture you saw that got the response from his players. Either you're stupid or you're trying to make a statement.
And you know what? Honestly, I'm not sure.
Because why else would you wear that? Why else would you wear that t-shirt?
You think it's to make a statement in this day and age that he's trying to make that statement now?
I would hope not. But otherwise, why? I mean, you have no self. You preach self-awareness to the kids that you coach, and you don't have enough self-awareness to realize. I mean, in this climate, you shouldn't be wearing that t-shirt.
Well, not even that, Rick. I just to be posting a picture of you going bass fishing right now in the times that this country is in. Don't you feel like that's a little too cavalier of an attitude for somebody in Mike Gundy's position to have? Somebody that makes millions of dollars every single year off the backs of a lot of black and brown players? Maybe it's just me. It just feels like that's tone deaf.
I agree with that, but we wouldn't be talking about it now if he just went bass fishing.
No. We wouldn't be talking about it, but the combination of the two is just kind of like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Do you see what Feinbaum said about Gundy?
I can only imagine.
You ready for the quote?
Please give it to me.
I think the sooner that Oklahoma State gets rid of Mike Gundy, the better it's going to be for that school and university.
See, I just don't understand. When you talk about, you talk about coaching college kids. I mean, they're young men. I mean, they're still turning into adults.
And they're very impressionable.
Exactly right. You're held to an even higher standard than NFL coaches, in my opinion.
You should be.
So, I mean, the fishing trip and then on top of it wearing that t-shirt, like, I mean, have some common sense. Maybe it should be called common sense.
You know what bothered me so much? The fact that now this kid is on the defensive? Well, he did nothing wrong.
Yeah, that's the part of it that I didn't get, Dave. And I don't understand why Mike Gundy didn't step in and say, we're going to reshoot this video because you don't need to apologize to me. Now, could he have handled it differently? Sure, but you can understand the kid being emotional and having that kind of a response given what we're dealing with right now. I don't think that Chuba Hubbard should have been forced to. I'm not saying that they forced him to, but I don't even think they should have allowed him to apologize.
Yeah, there was nothing that he did wrong. Look. And honestly, if I'm him, I'm not apologizing. I'm sorry. I did nothing wrong.
If I'm him, I'm probably not shooting the video, Dave. If I'm him, I'm probably not shooting the video.
I agree. Yeah. I agree.
It's lack of awareness. It's insensitive to what's going on. I mean, it's ridiculous. I didn't like the whole thing. All right, here we go. Let's have some fun. Did this happen in Florida? Is this happening currently in Florida?
You're going to
love this one, Dave.
As we speak.
This is a 49-year-old woman was talking to her husband about how she wanted to build something outside so her and her friends could have some fun, sit together, but still remain safe. So what did she do? It was like all of a sudden, oh, bingo, I know what I'm going to do.
What is she going to build?
I'm going to go online, and I'm going to order some pods, some see-through clear pods. And in those pods, I'm going to trick them out. I'm going to put folding tables, chairs, water dispenser, LED lights, fan, portable radio,
ooh,
garbage can, and line the floor with a grass tarp. Have the coworkers over, some girl time, watch some music videos and movies. And then, to make it even better, she actually ordered 11 more pods. And what did she do just so she could serve her guests and stay safe at the same time? She ordered her own wearable walking pod so she could bring her guests food and drinks as they were partying.
So she's going to walk in a movable pod with others who are in their own isolated pods that are immovable.
Yeah, this is different color zip-up pods, and she actually has her own. So this is just from her waist up that her arms stick out of, and she can she can sit.
All right,
This can't be Florida.
Yeah, I agree because there's no pods, there's no zip up, there's nothing. It's just I walk up to you, I hug you, I might kiss you, and I give you the food that you're looking for. I'm going to say not Florida.
Yeah, I'm going to say not Florida. I'm in the Carolinas now, and a lot of people are acting like nothing is going on. I can only imagine what people are acting like in Florida. I don't think that anybody would go through such lengths in order to socially distanced properly, so I'm going to say not Florida.
In fact, I'll go this far. This has to be, in my estimation, a place where people are taking social distance seriously. So I think this is going to be a California, a New York, somewhere like that.
Okay.
I want one of these pods. I want to be her friend. I mean, she's planning on adding ACs, AC units to these pods.
How?
You can get them sponsored? I don't ask how. I don't know how she's doing it. She's got this thing all set up. Wait to see the pictures of this. It's hilarious. Santiago, what do you think? Is this Florida?
You're letting Dave speak too much, but I was going to say it's not Florida, but it definitely sounds like a more socially aware state. Hey, let's be a little bit safer of what's going on. So I will say not Florida.
This is New York, baby.
New York.
New York.
Is New York.
Yes.
Okay. Hamilton Heights. The pictures are pretty funny, though. Her wearable, walkable suit is hysterical. It's like
Uptown.
A fluorescent yellow.
Uptown. Okay.
I like it. Dave, you brought up the U.S. Open. Some professional tennis players aren't so happy that they're going ahead with the U.S. Open. Do you see this from Nick Kyrgios?
Yeah. Now, I'll say this, though. I agree that you can have your opinion, but Nick Kyrgios is an interesting guy to begin with, but continue along.
But here, this goes back to the conversation, right? It's sometimes it's the messenger.
If you told me that, I mean, you pick out a guy. Roger,
well, he's not
Federer
the only one.
You could say Djokovic. Same exact take, I think you'd feel differently about it.
But I mean, Djokovic's take is pretty similar. He said the same stuff, having to come and quarantine for 2 weeks and everything else. So Nick Kyrgios tweeted, shaking my head, people that live in the U.S., of course, are pushing the Open to go ahead. Selfish. I'll get my hazmat suit ready for when I travel from Australia and then have to quarantine for 2 weeks on my return. Is he not in the situation?
Then don't play.
This is going to be the U.S. Open, but it's not going to look like the U.S. Open.
No, not at all. But it's going to be, I mean, listen, it'll still be fun to watch.
That he's a knob in that, though. You think he's a knob?
Just because he is just kind of a knob, period.
I mean, no, he is. No, I would persona. Agree with that. I'm just saying what he's saying is not what's making
right.
him a knob.
I agree with you. I think if anyone else said this, you wouldn't say, boy, this is a knob. But because it's Nick Kyrgios with his checkered past and so many things that you question him now.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Here's why I said he could be a knob. I get it that this is your opinion. But on the other side of it, you do have people. I mean, there's an American tennis player, Danielle Collins, who said, I mean, they still want to have, I mean, you need to have tournaments so they can earn money, earn a living.
Sure.
She said it's easy when someone's made $150 million throughout their career just to say, you know what, I'm not going to play in this. But for people that, I mean, for the tennis players that do need to make a living and earn money, the U.S. Open's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's the big one.
It's the big one.
So, I mean, Wimbledon's not happening. French Open's still supposed to happen, right? Australian happened in January. Wimbledon's out. I think the French Open's supposed to happen, isn't it?
This is a huge opportunity, especially now. Just think about the men's side. They actually have a chance now to win.
Well, Federer is out. Djokovic says he doesn't want to play. French
Nadal
Open
sounds
Sunday,
like he's going to be out.
September 20th, by the way. So French Open's going to be in September into October.
Nadal sounds like he might be out.
Right.
He's just gearing up for the next season. Well, so who knows?
The French in September.
Yeah, I mean, who's not going to travel? He wins that tournament anyway. Did you see this video too? This is why it's an observation, because you got segment on top of segment, plus you got video. I got pictures. Did you see this knob in Manhattan that pushed down the 92-year-old woman?
No.
You haven't seen this yet?
No.
So there's a 92-year-old woman walking down the street with a push cart, and then just out of nowhere, for no reason at all, the guy just pushes her right to the ground. She almost fell right into a fire hydrant.
Oh, that's awful. An old woman?
Yeah. 92-year-old woman. He just whacks her in the head with his left hand, and she almost falls right into a fire hydrant.
That's terrible.
It's awful.
And you see video of this?
There's video. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Look up Google man knocks down elderly woman in random NYC attack.
Oh, this is in the city.
I just said that.
Well, I got a lot going on here.
I know you got a lot going on.
I'm usually a fan of handling things with civility, but that person just need their ass whipped.
That's what I mean. I mean, if you see that, I mean you got
to
just.
Yeah, I don't even want that person incarcerated or going to jail. They just need their ass whipped. That's wrong, man. That's terrible.
Oh, like, what goes through your mind?
That you would smack a 92-year-old who's obviously slowly moving down the street.
I feel like that's a conversation I have with Milo. Like, what do you think? Like, what was the mindset? Like, tell me what you were thinking when you did that. Like, why would you just
And as
do
soon
that?
As they open their mouth, you punch them in it.
So they can't find the guy.
No, they can't find the guy.
This is so he's walking. I just saw the video. This is so awful. She's walking in the other direction of him. And for absolutely no reason, he smacks her in the head and she's with, I think, a walker. He smacks her in the head and she falls into a hydrant. What a horrible thing.
Yeah, that's the definition of a bad human being.
Oh, God.
That's a terrible human being. All right, let's lighten it up.
Third Go Avenue finish. Between 15th and 16th Streets, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I realize this. Oh, it's disgusting.
But the good news is she's okay. Bruised, but okay.
Yeah, thank God. I mean, could you imagine if she fell into that fire hydrant? It'd be a different story.
God.
Unprovoked. Ridiculous.
Animal.
All right, let's lighten it up before we end the observations today. So you guys have seen this driving around the because we haven't had graduations. Parents putting up graduation congratulations signs in the front yards.
Yeah, they're all over
town, sure. Yeah, so you got some nice ones. This one makes me laugh. This is hilarious. I can't tell whether they don't like their kid or they're just hilarious parents. So this is a banner outside of one of the houses. It says, "Congratulations, Owen," is what we could be saying if you hadn't dropped out of Yale. We gave you everything.
You loser. That's great. If you had any perseverance at all, this would be you, because you're a loser. You didn't get it.
Yeah, it would be congratulations, but you dropped out.
That's great.
We gave you everything. There you go, boys. That is today's observations.
That is
outstanding. All right. Job.
Very well, really beautifully done.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.